Hi guys, hello, this is me, Rupan Paul. Thank you so much for tuning in with me. I'm in Hyderabad once again as the famous and the person who's also done a lot of podcasts with me. Now reasonably more famous than like before also, which is a very good thing. Not reasonably, definitely more famous, right? Rajshekar, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you. I think you are the only guy with whom I do podcast. I keep getting a lot of podcast requests. I just say no, I can't do it.
No,
you are the only guy I can't say no. I'm happy.
This is superb. I think last time we did a very good podcast on mental health, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, I think about the Sushant Singh Rajput time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think after that, I've only had like happy conversations with you because a person good in terms of having a conversation with. But so how is it going since the last time?
Great, man. So I think because of the consistency of the videos, a lot of places where I'm doing, audience are turning up. And I think Love Letter to Mom has changed my, obviously changed me as a person, comic, but it also changed the audience I'm getting. So now people are coming and they're bringing their parents, which is amazing. And when parents come, they don't just say good show. They say, God bless you. Like that, oh, thank you. So like that, whichever God that is. So,
thank you. Nice way to start the conversation theme that we're going to have today. I think it's been a while since you've told. I think when you did your show, which you since pulled down from the internet about the Ramayana, right?
Yeah.
Legend of Ram. Yeah. I think there you mentioned towards the end that you're an atheist,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I don't think like until now, anyone in stand-up has openly, you know, come and said like, hey, listen, I'm an atheist. Have you tried writing atheist jokes?
No, I did not try because, first of all, I think in a country like India, a lot of people don't know what is actually is atheism. And even if they know, they take it in an offensive manner, man.
So he doesn't believe in something that is so important to us.
Yeah, that's what, you know. And somebody, I don't know whether who said this, Ricky Jarvis, I think. There's not much difference between a believer and atheist. It's just one extra God atheist won't believe in. So that's it. That's the only difference. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think we are ready to have that conversation. So all my jokes are just relatable jokes. I did not have any jokes on God or atheism.
But you mean at this point of time in India, we're not ready to have the conversation? Or like you ever feel like at a later point of time, once the audience knows you a lot better, you can probably talk about it?
I think it's both ways, I think. Let's say, for instance, if you take my own example. So to do this mental health show, I had to first get my audience, right? Then only I was able to do that show. So Clap Your Hands is a show which I did previously also. But once I know that, okay, these guys are my audience, then I can do whatever I want to. So in a way, I'm actually pushing my concepts to my audience, in a way. But then again, I cannot overdo it because ultimately they just want to have fun.
Yeah, they
don't care
laugh
about my mental health or your mental health. They just want to have like fun, that's it. So as long as we are doing something while having fun, I think it's okay. But concepts like atheism or even for the science concept, they are very tough to, you know, how do you make it fun for the audience? So
how do you make it fun is one thing. And also, how do you deliver what you wanted to deliver to the audience is another thing, right?
Yeah.
I think we're just having this discussion on the drive because sometimes your audience likes you for one thing. And you want to give them something else.
Yes.
So how do you balance that?
So I think I figured out that whatever you want to talk about, if you can rely on your strengths rather than trying to be somebody or someone, then I'm sure you can talk about anything in a funny way, which suits you. Let's say if my strength is, let's say, for example, crowd work. My strength is storytelling. If I rely on only on these two things and talk about atheism, maybe I'll be able to do it, you know? But if I feel that, let's say, for example, there's one comic in England, he keeps doing this offensive jokes. What is
Jimmy Carr.
Jimmy Carr, let's say. Jimmy Carr's style is different. If I talk about atheism in a style, though I like Jimmy Carr, if I want to talk like Jimmy Carr, then I don't think I'll be able to do justice. So
right.
What I'm saying is, if I rely on my strengths and choose any topic, I feel you can still talk about it.
It's a very interesting way of putting it. There's for comics, I always tell, there's this amazing video of Dave Chappelle doing a 4-hour set.
Yeah.
And I realize the skill that Dave Chappelle has, he's a very good listener. So if he's always listening to how the audience feels about a particular topic
and perceives it.
And you see, comedy, whether you like it or not, is two ways.
Yeah.
Because you're also, every time a comic does a joke, he's also listening to the audience to see what they're laughing at, right? So if you see this entire 4 hours, he's asking people what their opinion is on things and then listening to what they say and then accordingly progressing into his set. So I think that's something that you definitely hit on through crowd work, right?
Yeah. Like, see, that's what I do in crowd work, because when I'm doing crowd work, I'm not necessarily looking for a joke. Hmm. I'm actually looking for a conversation. What is interesting about it? So I don't usually, like, not only now, I don't think I've ever asked questions like, what do you do? Where do you work? Sometimes I don't even ask the name of the audience until the show is over.
Yeah.
I would have talked to them throughout the show. I would have made fun of them throughout the show. But only in the end, when I'm closing the show, I'll ask their name and then probably I'll give a round of applause. This I learned from Nitin Gupta, because Nitin Gupta told me that, okay, wherever we would go to perform, we would go a little early. And he has this habit of observing what audience are doing, you know.
I mean, I really like doing that right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So coming a little bit early definitely tells you what the audience is like and what they're going to.
And also, let's say, for example, the way you have come to the venue will be the same way audience are going to come to the venue too. Mm. So let's say, for example, on the way you observe something different, there are chances that audience also might observe the same thing, you know. And if you can talk about it, people think, oh, this guy is, you know, aware and awake. He's not just doing something. So that crowd work, that happens, you know. Like, you just, I observe everything. If somebody is wearing a good shirt, I'll say, hey, where did you buy this shirt, man? That's a conversation starter rather than, what do you do?
Yeah.
Can I talk to you? So these are like common things, right?
This what do you do actually is a very class-based question. Like, so how much money are you making? So I can accordingly form a respect of you. Yeah. But it's really nice, because we're talking about atheism, right? I wanted to have this conversation. Because did you grow up religiously?
Yes, yes. In fact, till 2012, 2013, I was doing this Sandhya Vandanam, like morning and evening. You know, like Brahmin ritual will be there, no? That I was doing till 2012, 13, morning, evening.
How old were you at this point?
At this point, matlab, now.
In 2012, like when you...
I think I was like maybe 12. So, okay, fine. I'm sorry. So I think
he was actually 14, guys.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So I think I am now 37, matlab, 10 years back, no? So 27, 26, yeah.
Yeah, that's still quite past into adulthood.
Yeah. Totally, yes, yes.
Okay. And so you were at you were quite religious in
terms
of...
Yes, yes, yes. I was religious and...
But is that because of like family and the way...
It's because of the family. Both my parents are very religious. They do all the rituals. They go to temples. And we used to go to temples. It's like every Thursday we used to go to Sai Baba temple. And we would like sing songs. I had my surgery done in Puttaparthi. That Sat Sai Baba is there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So after my surgery is done, I became a devotee of that guy. One month after the surgery is done, I came back home. I was doing bhajans every day at 5:30 in the evening. I was the lead singer. So I had to stop because a lot of people complained about the singing. Otherwise, I was a devotee. So I was like, I grown up in that kind of environment. Yeah. Obviously, initially, you'll pick it up from environment, right?
Yeah.
But one beautiful thing about a profession like stand-up comedy is like you start questioning, because questioning is the most important aspect of our profession, you know. You not only question what is there outside, you'll also question what is happening inside in your head also. So obviously, when you meet people like, let's say, Vipul Goyal or Nitin Gupta, who are very logical about their craft, but are also very passionate, so you pick it up. You pick up from others around you. You learn, you logically, you try to make sense. And see, once again, there are two things. Some people say that morality is derived from religion. Okay, like if you're not a religious person, then maybe you might be a morally corrupt guy. But need not be, you know. There is spirituality and religion. They're like two different things.
The spirituality, I think, is now thrown around too loosely now.
Yes, totally.
What do you think is an accurate definition of spirituality?
So a lot of people, they keep telling you, right? Like, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. So what do you mean by that? You question them, they take offense. I think not taking offense is spiritual.
So checkmate there only.
Yeah, yeah. If you don't take offense, then maybe you are spiritual, you know. I don't know.
That's very interesting how you linked offense and spirituality. I think there's something to do with that. I think it has to do with security of who you are as a person in the world that you see around you, right? Because I think a very secure person is the last person to take offense.
Yes, yes, totally.
Right? Whereas a person who is very insecure and feels threatened all the time is like, oh
so
my God.
And also, like when people say, when people take offense, they won't express it in the form of offense. You know, they don't directly tell you that, hey, I took offense. They give a lot of story to it. You know, they tell, hey, in the past this happened to me, that happened to them. That's why this is not a good joke, or that's why I took offense. See, you people always like, that's why I think spiritual people are not carrying any past baggage, I think. Whereas religious people are carrying a baggage, they're carrying a story. Spirituality just tells you that, hey, throw the story out of it, like, look what is happening right now. Just focus on the present.
Right.
So like that.
That's an interesting thing, no? Because I was just talking to Sandesh also about this, right? Yeah. Because you have to carry this entire burden that's been put on you.
Totally.
And actually, if you simplify it to a large extent, sometimes the burden just becomes on making sure this story stays relevant for the next.
To the next generation, yeah.
Right?
Spirituality is not concerned with it. Like, hey, whatever is happening right now, pay attention to it. It doesn't matter what happens next moment, what happened in the past. Just focus on the present.
And I think that's where all the friction also happens, right? Because we're constantly evolving. We're constantly adapting.
Yes.
Right? Like, see, in the last 2 years itself, because of COVID, so many things have changed. Right? And so many things we have to just stop doing because of COVID.
Yeah,
and even after COVID is done, which is done ideally, right? You can't really have it.
No, I looked at a lot of people, actually. I looked at all the people whom I liked. Around 2012, 2013, at that time, I looked at all the people whom I like who are religious, and I looked at their behavior, and I realized that there is something off. I was like, how can somebody who tells that he is religious, he prays to God, he does all the rituals for 1.5 hours, 2 hours in the morning, and somewhere down the line, if the coffee is not good, how can you get angry with your wife, you know? I couldn't find the match between these two things. Like, if all the religious activities are not making you peaceful, then what is the point of doing all those things, you know? Is it really the God whom you're praying for? Is he really taking care of you? Or should we take care of ourselves so that God also feels proud about you? Like, when I say God, it's just like God, not just any religious God. I'm just telling God in the sense. So I looked at a lot of people, and I asked a lot of people also. Like, for instance, one of my relatives, he gave me a beautiful example. He told, when you're a kid and you have to go through the dark, let's say, for example, from here, you have to go to that 10 feet away, you have to go pass through the darkness. So obviously you're scared. So for you to not get scared, they might tell you, hey, while going through dark, why don't you chant Hanuman Chalisa? You won't feel fear. And then you cross the darkness while chanting Hanuman Chalisa. And then you realize that, yeah, it worked for me. I was not afraid while I was chanting Hanuman Chalisa. But as a kid, you know. But when you grow up, you realize that you don't need Hanuman Chalisa to cross that path. You just have to switch on the light. Yeah. That metaphorically, that light might be inside all of us. But a lot of us, we never switch it on. You know, it just like stays dark. That's why I think as a kid, you needed something. And as a kid, you would require throughout your life. None of us are growing up, actually. Mentally.
Right. So that was just like, what led you to that point of, you know,
that's what,
like, so these are people who are religious. Was it a sudden realization?
So, and also a lot of things have happened. Like, for instance, when unfortunate things happen to you, then you start questioning everything, right?
Yeah.
So one of my friends, she passed away in a very brutal accident. And one friend of mine, he committed suicide. So I was looking at all these things and I realized, like, what is happening, you know? The first thing, obviously, you question is, it's unfair. Okay, second thing, you keep asking yourself, okay, what is there a God? Like, because both of them I see are there, like, pretty religious, and God did not come to help them. So obviously all these logics will start forming, like popping up every now and then. Then first thing you do when these kind of logics pop up is you'll stop doing the rituals which you are doing on a day-to-day basis. So I stopped doing rituals at one point. And I stopped going to temples at one point. So like this, I stopped doing all this, whatever the activities associated with religion. And luckily for me, very luckily for me, actually, when I was discussing with this, my mom said, see, all that doesn't matter. So if you don't want to do it, don't do it. Just make sure that you're happy. So which is a very beautiful thing to say. And I was like very encouraged by what she said. So I started looking, okay, so let's see what happens. So I started reading a lot of books. I read almost all religious books. I read Bible. I read all the books, Mahabharata, Ramayana, and everything. And I read something related to Islam also. There's one small Quran which they have given. I read all these things. And I realized that, okay, so there's something in there which people are seeking, which is right in the middle of all the rituals, you know. There are like so many rituals. Like, for example, when you go to temple, you should leave your footwear outside and go to the temple. But there were stories in the spirituality where they said, like, one guy forgot to leave the footwear, but still God accepted. So there must be something else which is happening, right? So then I read Buddhism. Then I went to vipassana. So yeah. Then probably I understood more of spirituality rather than religion. Because in Buddhism, there are no rituals. In vipassana, there are no rituals at all. They have removed all the rituals. There's no Buddha picture anywhere. So vipassana also kind of helped me to realize that, okay, so for me to be morally correct, I don't have to be part of any religion. I don't have to be spiritual. I just have to be fair. I just have to be a fair human being, that's it. And that will take care of morality, right? And I read both sides of the stories, both sides of the argument. I read all the books written by Christopher Hitchens, Sam Harris, all these
and
atheists.
Dawkins and all yeah, of that, yeah.
Richard Dawkins, all these atheists. I read all the spiritual books also. Like I read Dr. Ambedkar. He's a great guy. Like his books are amazing. He wrote one book called Buddha and His Dhamma.
Yeah.
Just before he died, he converted along with all this, he converted to Buddhism.
Correct.
So, and I read about all this, all these things, crimes committed in the name of religion. So it did not make sense for me.
No, I think there's the other side also to it, right? Like, because you said, like, obviously when you go through all these pieces of religious literature, the different works of religious literature rather, people definitely, they know they're seeking something. And I think that is kind of why there's that problem with it adapting to the modern world, because they want to say like everything is changing so rapidly and sometimes not for the good. So let us see something that hasn't changed at all.
Religion. You know?
Which is religion.
So, one thing which brought me into all this question is obviously that video of George Carlin. Religion is bullshit, you know. So, and obviously George Carlin is like pretty logical when it comes to his comedy and his arguments. And obviously, whenever I saw that video, I became curious, more curious. Then I started reading a lot of science books, you know. And it's very important to clarify because we are in India and we are doing a podcast for the Indian audience. So it's okay, whatever you believe, you know. But after a point, you have to make a decision, okay, just because some other person is not believing what I am believing in, are you going to mistreat him or are you going to be fair with him or her, whoever it is, you know. So that, you need to ask that question. Okay, I may not believe what you believe in, but can we still coexist and have a conversation about it? Can we just, you know, that is something which all of us need to ask this question.
And I honestly think religion does not allow for that coexistence, right? See, one of the greatest things that happened to me, okay, like I was born in a very religious family, right? But like when I was 17, 18, one of my best friends was an atheist. Okay. And he was the first one who put that thing in my mind, like there are people that are different from you. Yes, you are this way of being religious. But also there are other people who have different faiths, who have different beliefs. And like I myself, I don't have a particular belief and I think there is no higher power. Right? And he led me into questioning a lot of the things that is very objectively wrong, which I can say at this point of time, about this man-created religion, right? Of it being like a corporate organization, how it's used to oppress, control, how it's used to commit crimes in the name of just continuing that story and making sure that story stays relevant, right? So I think, and that definitely freed me up a little bit. At the first start, I was like, how can he say all these things about my religion, which is so sacred to me, right?
Yes.
And then I realized, no, what is more important when you connect with people is not just their religion or their spiritual thing, but how they are as a human.
Totally.
So even right now, because I like my parents are still religious, my family is still religious, right? Even if there's someone who's super religious, whom I know, I try to bring them down to a human to human level. Or else that just becomes a matter of power, right?
Totally.
Like this person is going to use his power to show how I should become like him.
Yeah, exactly. Totally.
This is how India was colonized, how the entire world was.
So I think there I feel like one point which you also mentioned is like a lot of stories, right? Like we have to give it to the next generation. I feel personally or spiritually or religiously, a lot of us, the biggest burdens we carry is the stories which we tell ourselves. And I feel every now and then you have to keep questioning the stories which you are telling yourself, you know. Like, for instance, there was a time where I was thinking that, okay, maybe if I do comedy, you know, it will spread joy among the audience. Bullshit. No. I'm just doing because it's the only skill I have, you know. And yeah, fine. I'm using the skill to make money and people are laughing, then let them laugh, you know. So you have to keep questioning your stories.
But do you really feel that way? Like you're not spreading happiness and joy?
So that's what I'm saying. It's not adding to a bigger cause. Okay, I'm not making a huge difference, Right. So let's say, for example, if you come to my show.
Yeah. To assume that anyone will be making a big difference is just basically ego.
So I don't think, it's just, see, if not for me, they will go to some other comedian, man. Are you okay with it? No, right? Only I am making difference, that's a bullshit story. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's say if I tell that, okay, comedians across the world, through their whatever things, you know, whatever the small gigs, they are making people laugh and that might make a huge difference, then that's okay. You are at least still on par with everybody else, you know. But, I'm making a difference, bullshit, man. So you have to keep questioning your stories. And I think that is what I feel. Lot of the burdens which we carry are coming from the stories, the psychological burdens. So can we let go as many stories as possible? And if we can let go all the stories which we tell ourselves, maybe that's being spiritual, I think. So one of the most beautiful things, one example, I cannot exactly tell the correct technical terms, but the story, as a story, is amazing. So Jiddu Krishnamurti was, when he was a kid, he was considered, he was going to be the main guy, you know, for the society and everything. The first thing he did when he became a founder, like when he became the leader, was he removed that society. He said, no, from now on, this doesn't exist. Which is such a radical thing to do. It's like almost you're grooming a kid that he'll become Dalai Lama. And then he become Dalai Lama and they'll tell, this is all bullshit. Don't
There's
do
no
it
concept
anymore.
Of Dalai Lama.
So that is something which is great. And also I think... on that sense, Dalai Lama said one beautiful statement, which I think I admire, which also kind of furthered my thought into, we don't have to stick to any religion. He said, if science tells that Buddhism is wrong, then Buddhism has to change. How can a leader, a religious leader, say something like that, you know? Which is such, I felt is amazing, which I think it should be true to all the religions, right? If it is true for Buddhism, then it should be true for all the religions.
But then obviously the argument would come up, right? Like, how is science right? Like, because one of the, even like if you, for those who are listening, Raja does a show on science, right? One of the primary things in the scientific method is nothing is certain, nothing is final.
Yes, totally.
So how what is your explanation on this? Because like even science can only go to a certain point and then afterwards...
The science, like, I like, like if I have to compare... the scientific way of living with respect to religious or spiritual way of living. I think spiritual way of living and scientific way of living are like close to each other because they're always trying to explore, you know, they're trying to find out. They're not relying on the past knowledge because they realize that, okay, that's not going to stay forever, you know. So they're always trying to see what is the new information. So both science and spirituality, they're changing themselves based on the evidence which is there right now, you know. Like if I tell you that, okay, I like you, and I just throw this glass at you, I may say I like you, but the evidence tells you that I don't like you, you know.
Right.
Unless until like we are in a context of having fun, and you also throw a glass and I die, then probably you are in a crime, you know. There's just a very, so you take the evidence, and you change accordingly your thoughts and beliefs, which is a very tough thing to do, obviously. Because once again, like I said, we keep telling ourselves a lot of stories. So can you stick to the evidence? Let's say, for example, you may consider somebody your best friend. And hey, he's my best friend, man. I can give my life to him. And he doesn't pick your calls. Evidence is telling you that, okay, that guy is not talking to you, man. From last 6 months.
Again, a story you've told
yourself. Story you're telling, yeah. So move
on. And I think we do that especially with that exact example. We're like, this guy is my friend. But is he actually your friend?
See, that's what.
Or is he just a fair weather person?
That's what I keep finding it very funny when I go to Mumbai or somewhere, no? The opening act will introduce me, my best friend, Rashekar. I'm like, dude, I don't remember your name. Can you please tell your name? So it just, it gets very confusing. I mean, that's just a comedy, but I'm just saying.
That felt real to me.
No. I was about to introduce you like that only to you. My best friend, Rupen Paul, ladies and gentlemen.
But I don't take it seriously when someone says that.
That's what, so that's what I'm saying. So sometimes what I mean, we keep telling our stories, but the evidence says something else, you know. But the real question is, can you change? Science changes quickly. The method of science changes without any fuss, you know. After 200 years, Einstein came and said the gravity which Newton thought was not actually gravity. There's a different kind of a concept for gravity. Entire scientific community agreed, you know. They did not go on protest or dharna. They did not burn
because
buses.
They relied on facts.
They relied on facts. So that's what. So the truth is something which we need to... And truth keeps changing from moment to moment, you know.
But I think truth also is like a pursuit, right? You think one thing is true, and then afterwards you realize, but according to facts, none of us are happy. And then let's seek. Yeah. I I mean, I'm not a very big science guy in terms of like how you are, like you read a lot about science and you enjoy just studying about science, right?
Yeah.
But for me, what I really feel about like the entire question of morality, right? Even as a society, I think from time to time we self-adjust, right? Like earlier we say like, okay, like we looked down earlier in America and around the world, right? Even in India right now, we say like if a person is gay, we'd be like, he is our outcast, right?
Yeah.
But then we self-adjusted and self-corrected that to say like, you know what? These are people who are our friends. These are good people.
Yeah.
And this is something that is happening with another person who feels the same way with him. So I have nothing to say about how he feels,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So we kind of self-adjusted. Like I self-adjusted to it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think in the long run, that's basically how we do. But I do not know what is the guiding process throughout, which I feel is a higher power.
Yeah.
I feel it's like a higher...
So, I personally have a feeling that, see, I don't have to figure out everything to go ahead in my life, you understand?
True.
So, I don't have to know what is going to happen after my death.
Right.
To start living right now, you know?
Mm.
So, that is something which I keep reminding myself every now and then.
Right.
That... You know, hello, hi, Farhan. It's okay. He can edit it later. It's
fine.
Farhan is our guy who is going to help us. Rupen.
Hey, Farhan.
Rupen and me are doing half an hour each today. Okay. Keith is going to come and open. Okay. So you can listen to the podcast. We are talking about spirituality and atheism. Spirituality and atheism, that is the theme of the podcast. So you can listen. It would be wonderful when Hindu, Christian and Muslim are in the same room.
I'll keep this part.
yeah, please.
So yeah, but yeah, I think from time to time, like what I was trying to say, we kind of self-adjust and it keeps changing, right? So yeah, like, I don't know if that's because of a higher power or I would like to believe it's because of a higher power. But what do you feel is that thing that we keep changing the way we treat people? What do you think is... That, is that a scientific thing or is that
so once again,
based
see,
on facts?
So one of the things which also like I think in the scientific communities they keep talking, right? They say that you need to adapt yourself to the changing circumstances. The person who survives or the creature which survives the most is the creature which adapts itself to the changing. So that is something which I think we should do it at a personal level also. In fact, if you see, if you pick from Bible or Quran or any other books, these things are there told in different ways, you know. But like I said, these are all, you know, muddled with so much rituals and so many stories, so many sacred stories which we cannot even question, that the real essence of the wisdom is not reaching the layman, you understand?
Mm.
So, but again, if you see, only we can talk about all these things because we are privileged. Because the person who is looking for food, when the next meal is going to come, he doesn't have time to get into philosophy and talk about spirituality and atheism, right? So for them, it's very easy to control. That's why if you see the masses, they were very easy to control if you give them a ritual. That's the game of all the motivational speakers too. They are telling you the rituals, right? Like they are telling, hey, do this every day. Welcome to 5 a.m. club. Why? They could have said 8 a.m. club also. But 5 a.m., they're like telling only few people are great. You want to become great? 5 a.m. Wake up at 5 a.m. That becomes a ritual. So whenever there's a ritual, people get attracted to it because rituals are easy to follow rather than following a wisdom or understanding the wisdom or living the experiential wisdom. That's what I feel. So that's why it's very tough to tell people as a concept of atheism, what is atheism? We cannot tell them, you know. They think it is against all religions. No, sir, it's actually for humanity. You know, like it's placing
more importance on your fellow human being.
So it's very tough to tell because it's a wisdom. But if you give them a ritual, then they'll follow it. And atheism is not popular because it doesn't have any rituals.
There's no structure.
There is no ritual.
It's freelancing.
Yeah, just nobody understands it. Like, if you see, even our profession also, I was talking while we were coming here also. Even I have a ritual on a day-to-day basis, right? Whatever things which I do on a day-to-day basis, those are all my rituals. That I can understand. But if I have to understand the discipline as a concept, it's very abstract for me. I cannot put a finger on what is discipline as a concept because it's very abstract. But if I do certain activities every day, I can give you an example, hey, this is discipline. You know? Like that's what religion does, I feel. You know, they give you the rituals.
But you feel, you really feel like, you know, people who are motivational speakers are actually propagating the idea of the discipline and routine and rituals as a way of control?
I don't think on the way of control, because just like we comedians, we just tell jokes. That's our skill. And their skill is to just to motivate. Somebody would have told in their life, hey, you motivate very well, man. You should become a motivational speaker. Yeah, done. He became. That's it.
But that's borderline also like what religion is, right? Like
yeah, totally. Because see, if you see the same thing, right? What religious does, the same thing motivational speakers are also doing. In a way.
A little bit different also, no? Like,
yeah.
See, like motivational speakers, my biggest problem with motivational speakers...
Without killing people, that's what, you know? That's the only thing. That's the main difference.
I do not agree. I think some of the motivational speakers have killed people.
Yeah? Who killed
Hitler. He's a great motivational speaker.
Dude, Hitler, I think, is not a motivational... Once again, that, see, the motive of that is religion, right? Hitler's motivation also.
Race, mostly.
Yeah, yeah. So...
Yeah. But the way he sold that story was through... I think even Yuval Noah Harari mentions it.
Yeah, I was about to tell you the same name. Because if you see, we are all like surviving on stories.
Yeah. So he said it's just easier for people to believe. I really like their explanation.
Yeah.
Right? On how you believe a certain story and everyone else believes in the same story. And then you, you know, you basically are on the same page. But I think the reason why it has been propagated so far is because it works. Right? At a human very human level, right? Because people have been able to achieve results through it.
Yes, yes, totally. See, religion actually gives people to go through some of the toughest hardships in the name of God. Like I've seen, I think 4 or 5 months back, I think, I was going to Hampi. I had a show there. So I started early in the morning, around 3 o'clock. My driver was there in the car, we were going. And on the way to Hampi, we saw a lot of people, this Ayyappa people, are they're just walking.
Yeah.
They're barefoot. Walking with their all this, like, you know.
And this is barefoot, right?
On barefoot, they were walking. So I asked him, what are they doing? Where are they going? Then he said, they're going to Shabarimala, which is in Kerala. And I've seen them in Hyderabad. So it means the journey will take them almost like 2-3 months for them to reach Shabarimala. And they started in Hyderabad, like they were going. And they're not even youngsters or something. They're like middle-aged people, you know. So the name of God or the religion gives them the power to go through all these hardships. If
but
you're
this is
using...
But this is self-inflicted almost.
Yes.
This is a self-inflicted like pain in pursuit of God.
It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, you know. If you keep telling yourself something, eventually that happens to you, right? So in the same way, what I'm saying is, if you're going to go through all those hardships in the name of God, use that skill, that endurance, to do something more, something big, something better.
That's
for yourself
nice
and for
point.
Your, you know.
Can we... You're anyway going to go to hardship, so you might as well be a little less selfish and not make it about yourself.
Yes, yes.
Instead, make it about your fellow human beings and then do good. Because it's the same effort, same time.
Yes.
Same money also, if there's money involved.
Yeah. So that is something which I learned in stand-up comedy. You know, like, for example, as a stand-up comedian, I'm used to looking for jokes. Always, right? So I have this tendency to look for jokes always. So I started eventually, like in the last 3-4 years, I realized that I started applying that skill in some of the conversation which I'm having with my friends or relatives. It's not like I'm looking for jokes. Sometimes they might be telling something very serious or sometimes they might be telling something which is bothering them. One timely joke would just lighten up the mood and they'll also feel, yeah, it's okay like that, you know. So can we use some skills which worked for us in one area of life, in other areas of life, and make it more fulfilling, you know? Yeah. That is something which I feel. Religion teaches it, but a lot of masses don't have access to those teachings because most of us are stuck in just rituals. So there are hidden gems, but they're just hidden in religion. That's what I feel. In Vipassana, they tell a beautiful story about Christianity, okay? So when Jesus was dying, so he was on the cross and he was dying, and there are a lot of people who are around him, they're like trying to poke him, they're like, you know, blood and everything. So he tells, forgive them because they don't know what they are doing. So even in the moments of death, when people are torturing him, after he had gone through all the torture, he still has the heart of forgiving nature. So if you really like Jesus, why don't you adapt that quality in you? You know, why don't you become forgiving? Likewise, Ram, if you see Lord Sri Ram also, just for the word he has given to his dad, he has left entire kingdom selflessly for his brother, and he went to the forest. If you really admire Ram, why don't you have those qualities in you? Why don't you be selfless? Why don't you do something for your family? Why don't you stick to your word which you give to your friends or whoever it is? So I think that's what I learned over a period of time, that if I like somebody, if I like Sachin, I don't have to defend Sachin when he fails. I don't have to defend Sachin when he doesn't go to Rajya Sabha. I can take best qualities of him and probably try to, you know, adapt, like
emulate,
cultivate
it
in my own life, you know. That's something which I like. So that is something which I learned, and that is something which I start doing it also, which helps.
Go ahead.
What are you picking from the stories is very important. Are you picking the pride or are you picking the lessons? It's up to you.
No, also I think it has a lot to do with your own personal identity, right?
Yeah.
Like if you're a person who's very dependent in just as a person, then you will probably use like your religion as a very needy thing. Like I need this. And also I think generally what has happened is, we have become very capitalistic, right? Which is again something that you all know Harari talks about.
Yeah.
Like if you step out of the house, you're going to spend money. And the entire thing that is told to us is if you become more capitalistic, then you are more free in society. Right? And you are you have much more power, you have much more resources, which is kind of true. But I think what has happened is right now, have you ever thought about how like this entire thing of religion is used as a means to just get more and more capitalistic?
Obviously, man. Religion needs money. God needs money. That's what George Carlin also said, no?
Yeah. I think even Chris Rock had a very good joke about it. He said like, we notice that God always is poor and the devil always is rich. All the strip clubs have a lot of money. All the bars have a lot of money. The churches, they need a lot of money though.
So that's what. So it's, I think I realize whatever the religion which is being sold to us, it will directly link it to money, getting more and more money. So all the organizations, even you take the pandemic thing, during the pandemic also, all the big guys are fine only, right? It's the general public who suffered, right? So all the big guys, Ambanis, we have never seen, it's very sad, you understand? So all the money is...
And I don't even think they were sad about being locked in their house.
Yeah, see?
They're already locked in their house.
There was one meme, right? There was one meme about Will Smith saying that, please stay at home. And Will Smith home is like in middle of like some huge acres, man.
Yeah.
You can stay in home because your home is as big as Kondapur, man. In Kondapur, in one apartment, I stay in fourth floor. If I stay in home, I'll get stuck, So it's easy for them to stay at home, you understand? So, and I was reading, I was reading some weird article. Today, Ambani lost this much money. I can't make that much money in my entire life. All my ancestors' kidneys, if I sell also, I won't get that much money.
So I think it's a very important thing to, if you really want to...
I think whoever has money controls the world, I think. That's why a lot of people, they hate artists. Because artists come and they speak against authority. And what is authority? Money. And that's why a lot of artists are poor also.
It's the irony, no?
Irony, you know.
But I think where we come is like comfort. One of the things that I really find comfort in George Carlin's work is how he's speaking about the upper class. Right, he never considered himself upper class throughout his career. Right, and he's always putting himself like, "Hey, I'm in the same class." He keeps saying it, you and I are not part of that club, right? And I think that is where people find real comfort. I don't think any religion that's all portraying the opposite fact, right? We are an exclusive club. Only you can, you have to be a certain income group. That's obviously something that's wrong.
I think George Carlin worked because of that only, I think. Because throughout his life, even though he made money because of his art, at the end of the day, he's still an outsider. He's a rebel.
He's a rebel, He established that.
So that is something, he doesn't care about money. The same thing which I think applies for this guy also, man. Ricky Gervais also.
Yeah.
I don't think he's rich, but he doesn't have any quality of, being rich, He keeps teasing himself that he's rich, So I think that is something which you need to make peace with as an artist, at least. Money will come, but you don't worry about it, Just let it be. If it comes, comes. Otherwise, you do your art, man.
Yeah.
if you as an artist, if you are running behind money, then I think you are a content creator. So Akash Mehta had a beautiful definition about artist and content creator. He says an artist has something to say, content creator has to say something.
That's very well put. I think that this entire thing just ties so well with religion also, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because like there's so much of religion that's just constantly telling you, pray here, do this ritual, do that thing, do this thing, and you'll not be poor in life, right?
Mm.
And that's taken so much out of context. And it's like, you're not supposed to have this much of money. You're not supposed to have this much of greed.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be so materialistic, right? That's not the answer. The answer is you have to fulfill something which is your own calling, to create something, to be happy, and to be generally at peace with yourself, right? But I think, so what I feel is happiness, like, it's not like religion hasn't adapted, they have adapted. They're playing to that sentiment now.
Yes, totally.
Playing to that sentiment, saying that, hey, if you don't have a job, you can get your job.
It's very
difficult.
If you
don't have money, you can get your money.
I feel it's very difficult to convince one person, but it's very easy to convince a mass of people, you know, like the masses.
Mm.
That's where I think religion is all about masses, you know.
Mm.
Whereas science is all about like individualistic approach. Like you tell people, like that's why science class, a lot of us hate. Because you just are lost, you know. Until you take personal interest, you wouldn't know anything about science. But whereas religion is not like that, you know. It controls people
it's
by
mass control. Yeah.
That's why politics also works. Politics and religion, both of them, their game is masses, you know.
Right.
They need numbers.
Mm. But my entire problem with that entire school of, speaking, is the same thing with motivational speakers. They're telling you that life is going to be good after all this.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Yeah, that's
life
not true.
Quite miserable, and you have to find a way to cope with it. That may, like what I feel is like, you know, there's a big conflict right now, right? Because one way is like religion is constantly adapting to pander to the sentiment that if you're unhappy in life, if you're poor in life, or if you don't have the resources, if you don't have a big house, you can somehow be religious and you can be successful.
Yeah.
Right? And then because successful, you're happy. And then in the middle of all this, I think there are people who are actually very miserable. And they're trying to find something, but they're not able to find it because it's all clouded by so much of just pandering to that materialistic need. Right? So it's a problem. But what do you, like, how did you come to that conclusion that this has nothing to do with morality at all? Because I still feel it does. Like, I do believe in God, right?
Okay.
So, like, I still feel like, see, like, even you as an artist, as a content creator, you're doing so many good things, right?
Yeah.
But I don't feel that is just you doing what is important. I feel like you're doing it because you know that if you don't do it, you'll feel bad about it.
Yeah.
Right?
So I think I feel it's a game of probabilities, you know, numbers. Like I am, so don't think that whatever I'm going to say now, it might sound too much logical, but it's also like emotional, okay? So what I'm saying is, let's say for example, if I meet you some 100 times, and out of 100 times, if I'm nice to you some, let's say for example, 99 times, okay? So there are chances that when we meet in the future, you will be nice to me too. Like, you know, so I think all of us, we are actually playing the game of numbers. We are increasing the probabilities by our behavior, you know. You will never meet a person who is always rude to you. You try to avoid that person, unless you are married to that person. So that's a different story. But, you know, you never try to meet, right? So I think it's a game of numbers. Like, for instance, if I keep... I keep doing shows, right? I do a lot of shows. I collaborate with other artists also who don't have videos in Hyderabad.
Yeah.
So, but they are very good. I keep doing shows with them. So I share my audience with them. So let's say for example...
Like today, what are you doing with me?
No, you are an outstation comic. You're a Bangalore comic. Bangalore comics are...
Oh, I thought I have a friend.
Can you ask me that question again and edit this part? See, I'm doing it because you're my best friend. So.
I'm not... Not take it, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. So I was saying, so when I do shows with them, they might be eventually in the future, let's say when I stop getting audience, they might help me, you know. It's a game of numbers, right? And if you see as human society... We over the centuries, we learn to help each other. We learn to coexist. That's why we survived that long. No other species has survived this many years, right? When compared to human beings, we did mainly because we were able to cooperate with each other. So I think our morality should come from that thought. I feel. See, I cannot exist alone in this world.
True.
For me to be here right now, there are a lot of things which had to be in place.
Hmm.
Whether it could be all the ancestors who lived their lives before me, they lived in such a way that they did not die before they got married or before they had kids.
Yeah.
So that's why this, like, I'm very extremely lucky to be here, you know. So it's a game of numbers, you see. Like, we are cooperating with each other. Like, when I came to Bangalore, I asked you, where can I do shows? You come to Hyderabad, you ask me. So I think morality should come from there. And Buddhism has a beautiful thing about this. They have some five precepts which they say. Let's say one precept is called don't kill. They don't say be good. They say don't kill. You know, if you're not killing, they don't say tell truth. They say don't steal. I used to wonder, why are they telling this? They should have directly tell truth, na? Why are they telling don't lie like that? So I used to wonder, and so then I got one explanation from somebody saying that, see, even if you don't tell the truth, it's fine. But don't lie. You can keep quiet, but don't lie.
Mm.
And if you, let's say, for example, you make it a habit of not lying, eventually, without you realizing, the relationships around you will eventually get better. Let's say if you don't steal, if you don't harm, if you don't lie, if these three things you are doing consistently, without you realizing, you don't have any cross relationship with anybody around you. Telling truth might be a burden, but not lying is actually easy, you know. So what I am saying is my morality may not come from telling truth. It comes from not lying. That's it. So I don't have to be nice to you, but if I don't harm you, it's okay. It's still okay.
That's a very interesting way to think about it, right? Like the things that you should not do.
Yeah.
As opposed to just being told like, hey, this is a rule.
See,
stand by that rule.
See, the rule, that rule. Rule sounds burdening, right? But if I tell you, hey, don't do this because just they don't do it. Don't try to lie. That's it. Over. It's very simple to follow. Mm. But tell truth. That puts a burden.
But even I feel at some point it would be in the same thing, right?
Like yeah, that's said. What I'm saying. At some point it might be the same thing. But then again, most of the times you are not putting pressure on yourself to remember something or to do something forcibly, you know. Let's say, for instance, you come to me and then you tell me, hey, what did let's say, Rohit tell about me to you? What if I have to tell truth, if my rule is to tell truth, I'll tell the truth and then all three of us will fight. Let's say if my rule is to not to lie. I'll say, hey, Rupen, I won't tell, man. I'm sorry, I can't tell.
I'll be like, hey, tell no.
Then I'll say, I'm sorry, Rupen. Come, let's have banana bread. And then we'll just divert the topic, you know.
See, I'll tell you what happened. Okay, this is... happened, I think, quite fresh. Thursday, Friday. Friday, I was supposed to do a gig with an event manager.
Mm.
Okay. Now, just by three conversations, I understood that this is a person that most people take advantage of. Okay, because he seemed too innocent. And he was not able to reach beyond a certain level of maturity in having a negotiation with a client, right? So I said, anyway, I'll do your show.
Mm.
Now, what happened is, one day before, I got a call from another event manager saying that, hey, we have a show over here. Why don't you do it? I said, hey, I got offered it by this person. I said, okay, we are actually not going ahead. The client is not going ahead with him, but they're going ahead with us. Would you still do it? I was like, he said, I don't have to speak to him, right? He said, no. But if he does, just say, I do not know anything. I told him, I can't do that. Okay. I will just hear him out and I will say, it's okay.
Mm.
Needless to say, next day he called. He said, I haven't heard anything from the client. They have not picked up my calls, nothing. I just said, okay. Okay. That's it. And I said, see you. And I did not say, like, you know, I got a call from another one. But even that felt like a little hard. But the only thing I was saying is, I am not lying to him saying that I'm not doing the show.
So a lot of us, what happens is, when you put it as a principle, like, we tend to rebel against it. You know, that's I don't know. I think that's our human nature, I think, you know. Let's say, for example, if they tell you, hey, there's a room upstairs, you cannot go. You want to go, you know.
So, no, simplest thing is like sugar, right? Don't eat sugar.
You want to eat that. Yeah, you want to eat. So it happens a lot of times. So that's why, see, I think cooperation is the main thing where you think about morality. Secondly, if religion is not giving me morality, then let's say, for example, I was talking about the concept of spirituality, right? So can spirituality give me morality?
Hmm.
Now, if I have to define spirituality as not carrying any stories from the past or the future to the present moment, if I define it like that, then in the present moment, let's say, for example, I will always react the way the present moment asks me to react instead of carrying my past. Let's say if a guy comes to me for help, I'll help him. But if I'm a person who's telling myself the story that before helping somebody, you need to check which religion he belongs to, then before helping, I'll ask him, who are you?
Yeah.
Then he tells, my name is so-and-so. That depending on so-and-so, you can figure out which religion.
Yeah.
Then you may not help him, you understand. Mm. So there's always conflict between, are you resisting the present moment or not? A lot of us, we keep resisting the present moment. We don't accept the way it is. And the resistance is something which causes a lot of conflict, is what I feel. Like, let's say, for example, the moment I accept it, then I'm at peace, right? A peaceful person can never hurt anybody.
Mm. And I also think at some level, right, when you believe much in a higher power, you sometimes, when you're talking to another person who's another fellow human being, you feel like you're a higher power than that person.
Yeah.
And that's a very negative thing, actually.
Yeah, negative thing, yes.
I mean, though every religious form thing says aspire to be more like your higher power, but I think you're taking it out of context and you're using that as superiority to create
just
class.
Just to boost your ego, you know?
To boost your ego, to say these people are wrong and I am right and these people are not as good as me. Yeah. And that's just you basically being just a piece of shit, right?
Maybe I think we can just go back to the first definition which we had about spirituality. If you're not taking offense, then you're spiritual. Simple as that.
Yeah, because you're more...
Not just offense to what people are saying, but to anything, any situation, you know? Don't take offense.
That is extremely zen. I will never reach that level, I think, for sure.
I'm sure I can't reach too, but I'm just saying. Because podcast me, we can say anything.
Okay, cool. Rajshekar, thank you. As always, great time.
Thank you
on
so
the
much.
Podcast. Is there anything that you want to plug before we leave? You're doing a bunch of shows, of course.
Yeah, it's fine, man. Like, it's okay. I just want to plug in something that, okay, keep coming to Hyderabad whenever you can.
Oh, thank you.
So we'll do shows, okay.
That's so sweet. Thank you so much.
Thank
Cheers.
You.